Welcome back. Now let's meet the candidates for seat I in the, on the assembly. They are Paul Bauer, Adam Tremblay, and Mike Gutierrez. Paul Bauer, you have 30 seconds to get us started.
Well, hi, Mr. Carey. It's been a long time.
Good to see you.
Again. Thanks to KAKM for having this forum. My name is Paul Bauer, and I'm a former Anchorage Assembly member who served East Anchorage from the years of 2005 to 2008. And during what I call the tumultuous years of the Begich administration on an assembly that was trying to keep taxes down, I enjoyed that part. It was a very exciting time, and I'm running to again serve the district in East Anchorage to better the community, and they need some strong leadership.
Thank you very much, sir. Mr. Tremblay.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. My name is Adam Tremblay. Currently, I'm chair of the city's budget commission, and one of the things that we did this year was we made efficiency recommendations to departments, to the administration, and to the assembly to help bring the city in $15.5 million underneath the proposed budget. With that additional money, what's very important to the people of East Anchorage is being able to have a police academy. So my commission helped provide that, and I look forward to finding those same efficiencies within government and serving the people of East Anchorage.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Gutierrez.
Thank you. My name is Mike Gutierrez. It has been an honor and a pleasure over the last 3 years to serve the people of East Anchorage and all of Anchorage. I have had the pleasure of being chair of the Public Safety Commission, vice chair of the Assembly, now chair of Ethics and Elections on the Assembly. It's been a learning experience every day and certainly a pleasure and again an honor.
Thank you. Let's start with Mr. Tremblay for the questions. You say in your advertising that you understand the mess our finances are in, but we have a surplus and are not taxing to the tax cap. So where's the mess?
Well, the mess is this, is number one, we have contracts that were passed in 2008, which hamstring the city up to about $200 million over the 5-year period. Because of those contracts, we find services that are gonna have to be cut in order to meet those salary and benefit requirements. And so the mess is that we're having to cut services to pay people additional money for and people pay taxes because they expect the service to be provided and we're not able to provide that service.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Gutierrez, you are the incumbent. What is something you're proud of, an achievement, and what is something you wish you had done differently?
You know, there are a lot of things that happen every day on the assembly that you sometimes second guess yourself about, but I am very proud of the things that we have done as an assembly working together. Many issues are very contentious, but every now and then we'll find issues that we can find a lot of common ground on. We, as an assembly, tackled an issue earlier this year with a new drug that was on the market that was being sold in convenience stores where a 12-year-old kid could walk up and buy it unregulated. And we had not only the Anchorage Assembly unanimously taking action, but as well as the Sullivan administration, the state legislature is jumping into the act, and the federal government and the Obama administration agreed. And I think anytime you can find a topic where all of those very different entities are in complete agreement, then I think you've done a good job.
Any votes you regret?
Thinking back, there are probably some that I would like to think about a little more and maybe have a little more time to discuss, but we don't always have that luxury. But as far as regrets, no. There are probably some things I'd like to revisit in the coming years, but none that I would necessarily take back.
Mr. Bauer, you've run before, you've won, you've run both before and you've lost.
Yeah.
Can you win this race?
I think so. I think the more the people do their research and they look at the candidates and they look at the history of the votes that have been going on currently in the last 2 years, 3 years, and if they go back and reflect on what Bauer did during the years of 2005 to 2006, they'll find that I did stand up to keep a limited increases in the budgets that were going on. I was one of those rare assembly members who voted no on the 2006 baggage increases, and as well as the Anchorage School District. So if the voters get out there and do some research, they will see the differences in the three candidates.
Let's go back to Mr. Tremblay. Is there any way to diversify our tax structure?
Well, before we talk about diversifying, there's always a way to do that, and it requires a 60% majority of the voters in order to accomplish that, and that's to institute a sales tax. But before we do that, we also have to remember we have to keep our spending in control. You know, government's too big, it spends too much, and it's too inefficient. The only way to reduce the only way to reverse that trend is to reduce the amount of money that you provide it. And so that's really what we should be focusing on, not always diversifying our revenue stream. You know, there is a talk of a sales tax, dollar for dollar reduction for property tax for every dollar that you spend in property tax or that you collect in sales tax.
If that's the case, name a couple of things that you would want to get rid of. At the top of your list, the government does now that you would vote against, or
well, it's not necessarily what I would eliminate. It's a matter of finding efficiencies within government. For example, as chair of the Budget Commission, we made several recommendations. The fire department currently spends $4.1 million every year on fire hydrant costs. Eliminate those costs. Right now, the Department of Health and Human Services doesn't utilize their IT department and other internet functions as efficiently as they could. They can reduce a tremendous amount of labor and paper pushing by doing that. A Wi-Fi upgrades to the library system that would also eliminate your labor costs. And so those are the kind of efficiencies that you can find within government that reduce the overall cost of doing government and make it more efficient.
Same question for you, Mr. Gutierrez. Is there a way we can diversify our tax structure here so the burden doesn't fall so heavily on the property tax?
Yeah, you know, I've heard a lot of talk about a sales tax, and I think the important thing to remember about that is if we institute a sales tax, it has to be a dollar-for-dollar replacement of property tax. It can't be a new pot of money on top of what we already have to spend. I think if you're actually going to give property tax relief, then you should give property tax relief, not just come up with new sources of revenue. You know, spending is always an issue, but our spending is down. We have an $11 million surplus. So we collected $11 million more than we spent or than we need
to
spend.
You say that's down. Are we spending less this year than last year?
Well, the first year that I was on the assembly, the first budget that we approved was for 2009. The previous assembly had also approved a 2009 budget. The budget we approved was $7 million less than the one that was approved the year before. So we've been addressing spending, but we still have this surplus, and I think, frankly, if we're overspending, we wouldn't have a surplus. The fact that we do says we're collecting more than we have needed to from the taxpayers, and frankly, I think we ought to give it back.
Okay. If elected, Mr. Bauer, what would be your top priority?
Well, my top priority is mainly to look after my district. Right now, I feel like East Anchorage is kind of stigmatized with this low-income type of residential area. It's kind of neglected in its some of the the facilities of, let's say, parks, recreations, and facilities. And I know the mayor's proposing to have a mega sports complex in the South Anchorage. Well, I think that's something I think would be needed in our district. It's something that I would probably try to convince the administration to kind of gear a little bit of that going to our district. So that would be probably one of the top priorities. Since he's already looking for the money from the legislature, $4 million, and is already putting on bond money to do it, I think maybe we can share the wealth over in East Anchorage.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bauer. Let's turn to the incumbent once again, Mike Gutierrez. Mr. Gutierrez, how much money are you spending on your race, and who are your top contributors?
I think right now we're somewhere in the neighborhood of about $52,000 raised, and the contributors are everything from labor unions to private individuals who give $10 or $15 a pop, what they can afford, small business owners, the entire cross-section of the community. And I am very proud and honored to have the support of each and every one. It's nice to get a big campaign check, but when you get a check in the mail from someone who gave you $15, it's very humbling because you know that's what they could afford. And that's something that it's a very humbling experience and incumbent upon me then to work very hard to make sure that
are you putting
I
in some of
them.
Your own money?
I have probably put in a little bit of my own money here and there, but not a large sum.
Okay, Mr. Trombley, same question for you. How much are you spending on this race up till now, or if you know, and who are your major contributors?
We've raised about $42,000 to $43,000. The main contributors are business owners, home builders, and is again a cross section of the wealthy to the people who can only give $10 or $15. So it's just a cross section of everybody.
And are you putting in your own money?
This year I didn't need to since I was able to roll over funds from last year's campaign.
Okay, thank you very much. some state and local governments are limiting collective bargaining all across the United States. There is legislation in the Alaska legislature that would limit collective bargaining as it applies to public employees. Let's start with you, Mr. Trombley, and just put it bluntly. Should collective bargaining for public employees be abolished?
Well, I can see both angles of it. Am I for collective bargaining? No, because I think it...
In the public realm or...
In the public realm. You know, if right now as it stands, you do have collective bargaining and, you know, it's something we have to deal with. The challenge is that it has to be adversarial, meaning when you have people who are receiving thousands of dollars in campaign contributions from unions whose then contracts you're going to be focusing and voting on, there's a clear conflict of interest there. And so that's something that needs to be addressed.
But what about, politicians receive tons of money from businesses. Isn't that a conflict of interest?
Well, there's a big difference when those employees are averaging anywhere from $120,000 to $150,000 a year, and the people that are paying their salaries are earning a third to half that. That's an economic model that doesn't exist. That's not self-sustaining.
Thank you, Mr. Gutierrez. Public employees, collective bargaining.
Yeah, you know, it seems like public employees and unions and collective bargaining are being blamed for everything from bad breath to hair loss. Everything that's wrong in the world is their fault. And the financial situation we're in simply has nothing to do with that. You know, over the last 2 years, we've been, each of the last 2 years, more than $8 million below the tax cap. And that has artificially reduced our tax cap by $16 million, and we're hearing a projection of $12 to $15 million deficit for 2012. That means had we not done those things in the previous 2 years, we could actually have fully funded municipal services without even taxing to the cap. It's interesting, again, we're constantly hearing our public employees bashed in the face, but the contracts that were approved in 2008 were approved under parameters that were set by the previous assembly, which were introduced in a resolution by now Mayor Dan Sullivan and unanimously approved by that assembly. They said, these are the parameters within which we can live. The contracts were negotiated within those parameters and approved within those parameters.
Let's go to Mr. Paul Bauer. Yes, Mr. Sir. Bauer, we hear all the time that government should stimulate the economy. What can the Anchorage Assembly do to stimulate the economy?
Well, it's a good question. Anchorage is, I believe, is a stagnant economy right now. We're going to feel more of the ripple effects from the lower 48. Anchorage is always a delay process, and it's going to come in more. So I'm okay with the budget, kind of reductions that we need, but we also need to have the administration and the assembly to go ahead and look at how we can stimulate the economy is by supporting small businesses. I think we need to have some vision, some ideas out there, some roundtable discussions and committee. Well, we have committees about everything else, but we don't have committees about how we're going to stimulate the economy. And I think going after small businesses and pushing for that, I think we can at least improve.
Let's go to Mr. Trombley, your assessment of what government can do to stimulate business, local government.
One of the biggest things to do is provide a steady tax structure and regulatory structure, a place where a business says, okay, I know what my costs are going to be in the long term. I can plan my business. I know that I'm not going to have wild, dramatic upswings in my property taxes, and I'm not going to have dramatic upswings in my regulatory agencies. And so when you provide stability in those two areas, businesses know the rules of the game and they can make a profit around those.
Shouldn't the tax cap guarantee that kind of thing?
Well, you would think
not the regulatory part of it, but the tax part of it.
Well, you would think so, but even with the tax cap, as you've seen, you know, prior to this administration, it looks like a hockey stick. It shoots straight up in the air. It's because, you know, it's how you calculate a tax cap. Do you calculate it by what was approved or what was actually taxed? And in the past, it was based on what was approved. So you're able to, even though you didn't tax to the approved amount, that was your base for the following year. And so that's why you see these wild swings. And no, that doesn't provide stability.
Let's stick with you, Mr. Trombley. It's been kind of surprising to me, but we've heard very little about crime in this campaign. Are you satisfied with police protection in Anchorage?
Oh, absolutely. The FBI came out with their numbers recently, and you can see that over the four-year period, crime is down. Of the top seven categories, five of the top seven categories, crime is down. Robbery is down 15%. Assault, I think, is down 5 or 6%. You know, those are all great things. And so I would say yes, because you can see the way Chief Mew is operating his police department. He's moved more to a community policing model, and that's obviously been very effective.
Thank you. Mr. Gutierrez.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that crime is down on paper. Crime in my neighborhood is not down, and I can tell you I'm not satisfied. I like to give this example. A few weeks ago, I heard a large altercation outside of my window and looked in the parking lot across the street, and there was a man physically assaulting a woman. I called 911, and that was probably 6 weeks ago. I still haven't seen a police officer, and it wasn't because they don't care. That's not why they weren't there. It was because every single officer that we had on the street was already engaged somewhere else with something that was probably a little more serious. If I could have told the 911 operator, hey, the guy's got a gun, then I'm sure I would have had somebody there immediately. But our cops are so busy because there are so few of them on the street that they don't have time to do community policing. Community policing requires a police officer to have time to build relationships in a neighborhood, to talk to people, to get to know the kids, to get to know their parents. And our police officers don't have that kind of free time because there just aren't enough of them.
Okay, let's go to Mr. Bauer. The school bond propositions total about $70 million. How are you going to vote on them?
Well, since we're facing this crisis, this economic crisis right now, the only thing I would support in bond issues would be anything that would do with the maintenance of facilities. I would not support anything that enhances or special projects that, like for ball fields, and I think it's...
This would apply to the other bonds, not just the school bonds as well, right? You want maintenance, not...
Well, mostly the bonds on maintenance. When we talk school bonds, it's mostly in the maintenance area. For instance, I wouldn't be supportive of the Service High School expansion project because I think at this time we really need to cut that down. The public safety and the transit bonds are right at a good level. We need some ambulances. Continually always needed that.
We're going to run out of time here, so I want to get Mr. Trombley on the bonds.
The bond that I do like is one for vocational technical schools. And the reason I like that is because too many times the model is we got to force kids to get to college. Well, not every kid is designed or has a desire to go to college. And by providing the vocational technical schools, you give a kid who, say, wants to be a diesel mechanic, he's able to do that while he's, in high school, and he's able to start his education there. So I do like that bond.
Okay, we're about out of time. I want to thank Adam Trombley, Mike Gutierrez, and Paul Bauer for joining us. We'll be right back with Seat K, the final race of the evening.